it back, he'll burn the cities. He will put everything to rights. He will restore our ecstasy. He will restore our delight and joy in the simple things. He will give us a self-contained bliss. Under King Jesus' regime, nobody's going to be walking around miserable and sick and hurting from the arthritis and from the plagues of difficulty and sin. Because he's going to have the devil bound for 1,000 years, and he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And when people do wrong, slap it down right now, and he will fix the wrong, and he will make the crooked places straight. He will make everything an Edenic condition again, and people will live for that 1,000-year reign throughout. The tribulation saints will marry and give in marriage, have children. They'll be little sinners, just like we are, but they won't have the appeal of a system called Babylonian system. They won't have the appeal of Satan because he's bound for 1,000 years. And when the final word is said at the end of the millennium, we will find out that God will release the devil, who will have but a little time, and he will find something in man called sin. And there will be a multitude of people who will flock to the devil, try one last coup, and God will prove that no matter what God does, man is bent, and God gets all the glory for everyone who's ever been saved. Left to yourself, beloved, you'd never come to Jesus. But the Bible says God sends His Spirit into the world to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. If you've never been convicted by God, you need to pray hard. Do not allow yourself to go on in an unrepentant condition, because the more you do that in the light of the gospel, the day of grace, my, we've got the greatest day in the world to live. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And He's not talking about today as in this 24-hour period, but He's talking about the day of grace, the age of grace. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was raised from the dead. He calls all men to come unto Him, and He'll give them rest. He'll give them peace. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He's the only way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me. And He says, now, run for rescue. Run for safety. And we act as if it doesn't matter, and we despise it by taking it lightly and treating it with indifference. And we walk away without any yearning to go back as time goes on. No, the Holy Spirit is here working in a very huge way in the here and now. Well, what we see is, not only does this happen where all of heaven shouts hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigns, but in verse 7 it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Why? For. Whenever you see that little word for, there's a purpose involved here. And His purpose for getting glory and praise is that the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Are you making yourself ready? Are you getting holier? Are you getting nicer? Are you getting cleaner? Are you pushing away the wickedness of the world a little bit more? Are you trying to insulate yourself? Are you protecting your children? Or are you just content to frolic in the devil's cesspool? He's saying that the bride hath made herself ready. And you know what that is? That's a glory to God too. Because only God can make us want to give up the things of this world. Because they make their appeal every day. God doesn't say you must. He says, come to me and I will give you the best. And by faith, you walk by faith and you walk away and you begin to say, no, I don't need that anymore. I'm going after God. I don't need my own devices. I don't need to exalt myself. I don't need to seek my own advantage. I don't need to push others down to be on top. I'll be a servant. You know, Jesus said it, didn't He? He that is greatest among you, be servant of all. Well, I don't want to be a servant. I want to be a king. I want to be the head and not the tail. I want to be on top. He says, you let me take care of that. Because godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. If you give Jesus everything, He'll give you back more than you ever thought you'd get. Beloved, we need to recognize this is going to dissolve. And that's why the Word of God tells us that's true. Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of men ought you to be? He says the marriage of the Lamb. What's that? Well, if you understood how they did marriages, it'd be pretty remarkable to you. See, they had arranged marriages. As a kid, you'd already be betrothed to somebody. How'd you like that? Mom and Dad get to pick somebody out. If you've ever wanted to take a little walk down memory lane, I encourage you to watch Fiddler on the Roof. I gave it to Mark, and I like to never see that movie back again. He never watched it. He watched 10 minutes of it and fell asleep. He's getting old, but he looks young, right? He looks young. He fell asleep. But there's a thing in there, and you've all heard that song, Matchmaker, Matchmaker, Make Me a Match, because in their society, that was something that was part and parcel of their history. And that's a more contemporary, back in the times of the Bolshevik Revolution, all that stuff. And it's a really great musical. It's very didactic for you if you've got some knowledge of the Israeli thing. But here's what happens. In the day of this writing, the plan of action for getting married was your parents picked somebody, a deal was struck, a dowry was given, and when the time came and they had grown up and it was time to marry, the bridegroom would come and get the bride. And he would take her to his home, and the marriage would be consummated. That's the rapture, by the way. If you read Matthew 25, and you've heard how all those virgins, the 10 virgins, were all waiting for the bridegroom, you know, and when he came, 5 of them were foolish. They had no oil in their lamp. They were like religious people. They were virgins. They were good people, but they had no oil. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They'd never been sealed. 5 had oil, and they said, "We can't give you any, man. We just got a little bit ourselves. Oh, we're just kind of creeping along." Folks, listen, don't let anybody dictate how your Christian life looks. You do what the book says. And find somebody who helps you do it better. Okay? And what we see is those 5 virgins that were ready got to go in. And when they went in, the doors were closed. And the 5 foolish virgins pounded on the door, said, "Let us in." No. See, that's the picture. The betrothal was given. The consummation was done. And after, it was typically 7 days. And it's going to be 7 years. And after 7 days, they'd come out and have a big feast. And everybody would be congratulating and excited. Guess what? That's what's in front of us. The marriage of the Lamb. What is the marriage of the Lamb? The marriage of the Lamb is when He presents not only His bride, but Himself, physically. And when marriage of heaven and earth become one, where Jesus, King Jesus, comes, and He steps foot again on the earth, and He delivers Israel at the last possible minute, all of that is before us. Folks, are you going up in the rapture? Are you looking for the upper taker? Because I'm telling you something, He's coming, and it's getting close, and everything He said was true. We see it, ka-ching, 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 going right into place. God is on the move. If you like the C.S. Lewis books themselves, Aslan is on the move. It's a picture of Christ. Jesus is on the move. He's got His people in the land, and He's ready to come back. Somebody said old Gabriel's puckering his lips to blow the trumpet. He's coming back. And when He comes back, He ain't going to be happy with the state of affairs down here. And He's going to call His people, "Come out from her wife," because she's in there. She's in the midst, and she didn't have much hope. It was tough, but she endured to the end. It's not talking about this dispensation. It's talking about the tribulation. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. What do they got to endure? Don't take the mark. Don't worship the image. And they got to kind of run from hallow and cave and den to get away from His wrath. And multitudes, chapter 7 of Revelation tells us, will be martyred in that day. Who are these? Oh, you know, sir, who are they? These are they who came out of great tribulation. They're going to follow the Lamb wherever He goes, and the sun won't scorch them anymore. They won't be thirsty anymore. The Bible says in verse 7 that the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I wonder if you have that today. And only you can answer it, because it's not something that can be conjured or contrived. You either have it or you don't. You either have the righteousness of the saints. Now, this is talking about deeds and behavior. You're knitting your own fabric, if you will. What you're going to wear in the millennium. I heard one preacher talk about it. He said, "Some of you are going to walk around with just a little patchwork." I don't believe that. Do you want to know what's real? What's real is God does a work of grace in our hearts, and suddenly we want to do something good. Just like my little guy wants to have me read a book, and he's hungering to grow. When you get a little older, you're looking over your shoulder to see if Dad's watching you ride the bike or hit the ball. You want to be seen. You want Mom and Dad to think you're the best thing that ever happened. By the way, if you tell them, I don't care if you are a lowlife. And I mean, people in a world where they don't love God, they're alcoholic and they hate God and they hate their kids. The moment they turn to their kid, if that dad says to that kid, "I think you have got what it takes. I think you are going to make it. I think you're okay. And I give you my blessing." That kid responds to that. The tearjerker in any kind of drama about a father-son breakup, what is it? When your dad takes him by the hand and puts his hand in his hand and one on his shoulder and says, "Son, I'm so proud of you. It'll break your heart." Because it is so powerful what God does through us men in our homes. And yet we act like it's not important sometimes, but I'm telling you something. God is going to come for us. And He gives us an inclination inside of us that says, I want Him to like me. I want Him to see me. I want to please Him. Now folks, if you don't have an inclination to want to please God, then maybe the Spirit of Christ isn't in you. The Bible says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Well, I brought up in a Christian home. My parents are Christian. We've been in church every day. I have a drug testimony. My parents drugged me to church. Is that your drug testimony? Beloved, I want you to know something. God doesn't pull punches. He tells you like it is. He says, not everyone that saith unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, shall be saved. Remember that? Matthew 7. He says, indeed, many will come in that day and say, Lord, haven't we done many mighty works? So the righteousness He's talking about is not the kind of righteousness that's contrived. He said, I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you and then I got rid of you. The people who think you can lose it. You can't lose it. You've got to grab hold of His leg and not let go. You've got to be Jacob to Jesus and say, I'll not let you go unless you bless me. And you might walk with a limp and worship in the latter years of your life leaning upon a staff like Jacob did. But you will know your beloved is yours and you are your beloved. You will know that. Do you know God is and I use this with every degree of reverence from Solomon's pictures. God's crazy about you. You are His bride. And He wants nothing more than for you to cast your eye to Him and say, I love you. When my wife looked at me one day and said she'd marry me, I was scared to death before we got to the altar she'd change her mind. But the fact of the matter is, folks, to this very day, I am so delighted that she's my wife. And I can't believe that she married me. And God uses that image, that metaphor of how much He wants you to look at Him. He says, I am the bridegroom. You are the bride. And nothing will delight my heart more than the day when we get together and can reign together and walk together and talk together and spend time together. And not be bothered or interfered with, and you will see me face to face. Beloved, Jesus is coming. This world's going to dissolve. But it's really up to you whether you're really in or not. Do you really believe? Do you? He said to the Corinthians, I'm afraid of you. He said, if somebody comes bringing another Christ, I think you'd go with them. Folks, there are a lot of other Christs, but the Jesus of the Bible is a Jesus who says, come to me and I will not cast you out. He's the one who gave His life for the sheep. He's the one who shed His blood on Calvary and said, it is paid in full. And when you put all of your faith in Jesus as the Savior, not your works. Your works are subsequent. You get rewards for that, but you don't get saved for that. He gives you a heart, and that's why you are granted to walk in fine linen. Because you're just doing stuff that are the result of what He put inside of you. You work out what He worked in. The DNA was there, and you're following the inclination. God's Word tells us that He who will come shall come, and He will not tarry.